All right, everybody. Well, welcome back to the All Things Croatia podcast. We've got a super special guest today. We have Marcela, who is a Croatian singer-songwriter. She first appeared in 2011 on Croatia's TV show Looking for a Star, is the English translation there. Since then, she's wrote a bunch of hit songs, including one that she'll be performing on Dora, which is the Croatian national competition to select a song for Eurovision. So, Marcela, thank you very much for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Well, thank you for the call and for the great introduction.
Of course, yeah, and definitely left a few things out because, you know, I want to hear it from you. But yeah, let's get to know you a little bit. You know, if you don't mind just starting us off by telling us a little bit about yourself and, you know, growing up and where you grew up.
Yeah, so I grew up in Croatia in a small town called Crikvenica, which is on the north part of the coast. It's a very beautiful touristic place. So if you want to, you know, visit Croatia and the coast, I would recommend Crikvenica. I really enjoyed growing up there because, of course, you know, there's something special about growing up in a small town, knowing everyone and just having like a small, you know, community. And we had like a music school, and I had my sister that was 5 years older than me, and she started playing guitar in a music school. And basically, you know, she was my idol for everything when I was, you know, little. And when she started playing guitar, I said, like, Mom and Dad, I'm gonna play guitar too. You know, it was not any other option. And I started when I was 8 years old in a music school, and I started playing guitar, and simultaneously I started singing in a choir. And then when I was 12 years old, I had my first band.
Wow.
And first performances on like a summer festival in my hometown. And I would say that like, let's say seriously, I started in the music industry right after the show Croatia Looking for a Star, which is Hrvatska traži zvijezdu. And that's when I joined the band. We were called before Angels, and we were a cover band. It was an all-girl band, and we were doing covers from, you know, like old rock songs to our newer songs. And we just toured all over Croatia. But at the same time, we really wanted to write our own music. And something that we strived for was writing in English, which I would say, let's say 12 years ago in Croatia, that there was no market for English music. So basically, by coincidence and by, you know, a friend that is from the Netherlands, we got a chance to get a record deal in the Netherlands. And 10 years ago, as a band, we all moved to the Netherlands and started our career there as a band, Luminized.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, I want to talk about Luminize as well, but sort of going back to the beginning, you know, you mentioned you started playing the guitar and singing as a kid. What were some of your early musical influences? Who were you listening to, I guess, as a kid? Or not listening to, but who sort of inspired you back then?
Yeah, I would say definitely Pink. She was my, she's still one of my biggest idols when it comes to just vocally and as a performer. I did listen to Avril. I mean, I just, you know, I wanted to be a cool pop rock chick as Avril. And I listened to early days of Kelly Clarkson, and you know, it was just a lot of pop rock music when I was very little. And then when I started in bands, that's when I switched to really older rock music, as like Pearl Jam, Guns N' Roses, Nirvana. That was something that I listened to, and I mean, still am. So I would say inspiration and idols are switching by the year, like. Yeah, it really depends on which kind of like creative state of mind I am, because now I'm more influenced with, I would say, maybe more pop direction. Those were kind of my idols. But I would say the biggest one is Pink.
And Pink, yeah, Pink has some good songs. I'm more of like a rock and roll guy myself, but I can definitely appreciate Pink has some good songs. And I know she's got sort of a, you've got, I don't know, would you call it raspy, your voice?
Exactly. And Fink has the same, and of course, I mean, Linda Perry, Born on Blondes, that is something that I was also influenced by, and I was just mesmerized with those kind of big, powerful vocal female vocal sounds, and
Well, I wanted to bring that up because I saw you did a cover of What's Going On. I love that song, and you did it really well. I thought that was a really good cover. Your voice
Thank you
really
so much.
matches well with that. Yeah. And
Thank you.
I'm a big, so probably AC/DC is my favorite band, but you know, like a lot of, you know, Guns N' Roses, Led Zeppelin, Motley Crue. And I saw that you actually, back in 2011 for the show, you sang a Guns N' Roses song, Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah, exactly. That like when I was 17 years old, I was just the biggest Guns N' Roses fan. My room was full of like Guns N' Roses posters, and I was just I knew every song of Appetite for Destruction from, you know, from top to bottom. Even like the solo parts, I could sing them all, you know, like so
That's awesome. I got to see them live and I was super happy. They were really, really good. You too? Where did you see them?
Yeah, I saw them in Zagreb in
They came to
arena.
Zagreb? Oh, wow.
The only thing is that Slash was not performing with them, so I was kind of like, my heart was like, oh, I wish Slash was on the stage, because for me, Guns N' Roses is, you know, Slash.
Yeah, true.
But still, I got to see them live, and yeah, it was just special.
That's awesome. One last thing, sort of, I guess, on that note, because I did see you did a Linkin Park cover as well. So I was wondering, do you ever go heavier? Like, you know, Linkin Park, a little metal type of singing or.
When it comes to covering the songs, I think, yeah, I would say Linkin Park and Nirvana is maybe the heaviest that I covered. But I listen to also some, you know, metal bands, and I mean, it's so bad that I recently discovered them, but Falling in Reverse. I don't know if you heard about that band. I'm absolutely a big fan of them, and that is something that I listen to as well. But maybe covering would be I don't know, a bit of a
Yeah.
challenging thing. Yeah,
Definitely hard on the vocal cords, I guess, unless you're
definitely.
used to singing like that. Yeah. Well, you mentioned a little bit about Luminize, you know, the band that you started. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that experience was?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, it was like an all-girl rock band, and we are all from the same town, Crikvenica, where I grew up. And lead guitarist in the band is my sister, and they had a different singer before I joined the band, and I was just, you know, like a little sister fangirling them and just wishing that one day I'm gonna have a all girl, you know, band. And when I finished the show, it was just the timing of that the lead singer wanted to quit music, and I was old enough to join the band, and then I started as a lead singer in a band called First Angels. And then of course, when we moved to the Netherlands, we kind of wanted to switch the name and the story around the band. So we switched the name, and we called ourselves Luminize, as we wanted to like kind of like show the fresh beginning and start of the band. And that's where our career started, and we started writing our first songs in Hilversum. With a Dutch producer, Holger Schwedt, and it was really a nice beginning, and we clicked so well with the producer and the songwriters, and just we continued writing, and very fast we started playing on really big festivals in the Netherlands, because the Netherlands is a country with a lot of festivals. I think like a 800 festivals a year or something like that. Uh-huh. So it is quite a big scene. I think 2016 we released our first album, and a year after that we started. We actually were a support band for a band, Golden Earring, which is a legendary rock band from the Netherlands, and we toured with them for a full year through the Netherlands, through Belgium. That was an amazing experience.
I didn't know that. That's super cool. I love the Twilight Zone, I guess, is probably the most famous. I didn't even know they were from the Netherlands.
They are. And they're pretty like legendary there because, I mean, of course, they had a huge success outside of the Netherlands. I know that they even played with Aerosmith and they toured in America. So yeah, their Twilight Zone and Radar Love was...
They play... I hear those two songs on the radio here in Los Angeles all the time. So yeah. Awesome that you're able to tour with them. What was it like going from Srikvenica to the Netherlands? Big difference, I imagine.
Huge difference. It was a cultural shock for me. Yeah, it was just a huge difference, you know, from a small town to country that is, I don't know how to explain it, but like the Netherlands is a very free-spirited country and the lifestyle is completely different. And then, we moved to the city called The Hague, which is like, I would say, not like a super big city, but like semi-big. I think 300,000 people living there. And it's a beautiful city, and the good thing is that it's on the sea, and it has a beautiful like big beach, so it felt good to just be still connected with the sea. and good thing is that The Hague was kind of like a city where all the rock bands came from. Basically, Golden Earring also is from The Hague, so it felt like we chose the right city. It was just it was such a different feeling, and as I said, the cultural shock. But after a while, I just started loving it. And then first, we really thought that we're just gonna go for 1 year and just try out and see how it's gonna go. 10 years later, I still have my address in the Netherlands, even though now I'm in Croatia, but trying to combine both countries.
yeah, that's awesome. And it's not too far away. What is that, a 2-hour flight maybe?
Yeah, even less, like an hour and 45 minutes.
Well, that's awesome. I've got a quick fun sort of question before I go into the next segment, and I'll have a couple of these throughout the episode. But if you could go to any concert in history that ever took place, which would you go to?
Definitely Michael Jackson. That is that you didn't expect, but I definitely would say Michael Jackson, because I do see him as, maybe the most legendary artist, and something that I really am sad about that I've never seen him live. And I think that's something super, super, super special. So, yeah, he's from me, like from another universe. So, yeah, I would definitely go back and see him live. And Queen, of course, with Freddie.
Of course, at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, a lot.
Of course, Did you watch the movie? Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, a couple of times. Loved it. Yeah,
that's a good movie. Well, you know, speaking of big performances, so you have your hit song Gasoline that you're performing on Dora, and I have to be honest with you. At least here in the U.S., a lot of Americans don't know so much about Eurovision. And I know it's really popular in Europe. And so for those listeners, I'm sure most of the listeners here, you know, are Croatian Americans or Croatians abroad. And we do have, of course, listeners in Croatia as well. But for those who may not know about Eurovision, can you sort of explain why, you know, it's so special?
Yeah, I it's just like a competition. I have a competition. It's a festival of the, you know, 20, yeah, it depends each year, but it's like around, I would say, 26 songs that are competing. And it's like every country in Europe and Australia is also joining the Eurovision as well. That is just selecting the best song that is representing the country. And then it's a special festival because you get like, just a different style of music, a different kind of artists. And what I like to say is like, can you imagine just like someone giving you 26 best dishes in the world and you can just try them all at once. And it's just 2 hours of pure fun and shebang, as I wanted to say, because everyone trying to give it all in those 3 minutes, and you get the full package in a sense of it's not about just the song. It's like the whole package of a performance, of visuals, of everything. And and it's also something that I've seen lately. It's a special community of like big fans of Eurovision that come together and that are following everything so closely, even before Eurovision, very dedicated to the whole thing. So it's just there is something special happening around Eurovision. It's just good vibes and a lot of, it seems like a lot of fun. That's why really my dream is to go to Eurovision.
I'd never watched it before. I don't even think I had heard of it until, 3 years ago when I first sort of moved out to Croatia, to Zagreb. And then I was watching it there, and I was in the student dorms over there, and people were having watch parties, you know, watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just cool to be a part of, even, you know, from my perspective, which is not being a part of it at all, just watching it.
yeah, exactly. And it really is a thing. Like, we all gather, we are all together and watching it and just competing with each other, who's going to guess, who's going to win. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's also, it is a high level of production, what you see. And it's just amazing. I would say it's like pure 2.5 hours of adrenaline while you're watching that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's super cool. And so you're competing in Dora, which is, you know, the Croatia is selecting its song. Every country selects a song. What's that going to be like for you? How have you been preparing? I'm sure you're excited.
I'm super excited and nervous at the same time, because it's really a big thing here in Croatia. I mean, Dora is it's really a privilege to be part of Dora as well. And since a little girl, I'm following Dora every year, and it's been my dream for a long time. So yeah, I would say, you know, we are really putting a lot of effort into the live performance, and even though, you know, I performed so many times and everyone is saying like, yeah, you got this, but it's just different because it's, you know, only those 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with every show that you have, the first song is always the difficult one, because you're trying to, you know, get loose and connect with an audience and just get comfortable on the stage. But you don't have that comfortability with just performing one song. And it's just a lot of things to think about, like what I said, the visual and the choreography and everything. But we started heavily with rehearsals already now in the studio where the Dora will happen. And the more, you know, I perform it, the more I'm comfortable with it. And it's just keep on reminding myself on the day of Dora to just really enjoy the moment, because I really dreamt about it for a long time. So I just hope that no matter the result, I'm just going to watch that with big smile on my face and just be proud of what I did on the stage, because it's not just my effort, it's the effort of the whole team. And I just want to make them proud as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you will. Yeah, and you have to go out there and compete, but at the same time, you have to enjoy yourself while you're there. You know, you only have the one song and a lifetime. That's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the song that you're performing?
Yeah. So the song is called Gasoline, and I wrote it last year around May, I would say. So I wrote it with my Dutch team because I started working with them beginning of last year, and I do have to say that we immediately clicked so well, and I like when I finished, like when we stopped with Luminize, I started with my solo career in 2020. But I was still kind of searching myself in like who Marcella is and what's Marcella sound, because I was so used to writing for Luminize. And I knew that, you know, rock music is something that I strive for, but I started experimenting with different styles and trying to see like who really Marcella is. And I would say that I really needed to find my good team, which I found last year. I do have to say that I with the first session that we did and with my first single, Not the Same, I think I found my sound, which I like to call pop in a leather jacket, which is kind of like pop rock sound. As I said, like we wrote Gasoline, around May. And my whole team was such a big fan of Eurovision, they still are. And we, with every session, writing session that we started, we would always say like, today we're going to write a song for Eurovision. that was always like a goal of a writing session. But the good thing is that my sound is something that I strive for, like a big energetic pop sound. And I think that fits Dora and Eurovision. So every song that we wrote was in the back of our mind, maybe this could be for, you know, Dora. But I knew that the song needs to happen in order for me to say like, okay, I'm applying this year. And that happened with Gasoline. The first chorus that we when we first wrote the chorus, we knew that was the song. And I know that day we just started with an idea of like, let's try to experiment with like a more upbeat song, because I was like writing a lot of, I would say, a semi-tempo songs, like more of a, like Imagine Dragons songs, like how to say that? Sorry, my it's a morning, so I don't know how to even that's right, but okay. And I know that we said like let's try with a more upbeat song, I think the first thing we had was the production, which was kind of like it had an influence of 80s, which you can hear, and a lot of synths and the grooviness and then we started like you know just throwing ideas, like a melody ideas, and the first thing we had was the hook, like Gasoline, and from then on it was just it was a great session. Quite fast we had the first chorus, and theme of the song is just basically something that is related to I went through big of last year, and it was kind of like big heartbreak, and of course as every human you get, you know, hurt, and you are very sad at that moment, but that sometimes, you know, in those situations you kind of wake up your fighting spirit, I would say, and you want to fight more and harder, and Gasoline is basically saying that what doesn't kill you, you know, makes you stronger, in a sense of like, okay, hurt me, set me on fire, but I'm just gonna burn like gasoline, you know. So yeah, and it's basically, yeah, I want to spread that energy and message of no matter what happens, just keep on fighting.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, very powerful message to go along with your very powerful voice, which shines in the song. Oh, so that's awesome. And I'll include links so people can go ahead and click on that, whoever's listening, to hear that song. Super excited to hear you perform that. Changing the subject here to one of the quick question, but what is your favorite food to eat when you're in Croatia?
Ooh, I love that question. My favorite food to eat when I'm in Croatia is, I'm trying to like pick one because I could go like a list, but maybe I would say sarme. I don't know if you know
what sarme. Of course, yeah.
Good. I would say sarme because that's such a special dish and you cannot eat it anywhere else than in Croatia, I would say. I mean, I've never tried it anywhere else. So maybe I'm saying wrong thing. but yeah, that would be my favorite thing. You know, I always wish it when I come to my like hometown and to my mom. I always say like, can you make sarme?
Yeah, I was going to ask who's cooking.
No, I've never made them and I really want to make them. And my mom always tells me like, oh, it's so difficult. I'm going to show you one time, but it never happened.
I'm the same way. In theory, I like, you know, learning the recipes and everything. But when it comes down to it, I said, mom, I'll just let you make it and I'll eat it.
Exactly. And also when you eat sarme, you just want to eat the good ones. And I'm just afraid to make the bad ones, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of going back then to music here. You mentioned some of your influences and the bands that you listen to.
Yeah.
Do you listen to any Croatian bands or artists? Or I guess growing up as well, did you have any influences?
Yeah. I did listen to Croatian artists a lot. I'm still am. I'm more influenced with more of an international artist. But when it comes to Croatian artists, I did listen a lot to Parni Valjak band. And Kiki Rahimovski is someone like, I would say, I made a mistake. Aki Rahimovski. Kiki is his son. Aki Rahimovski is probably one of my favorite voices of Croatia. He really has a special voice and he's very dear to my heart and he's not anymore here with us. Parni Valjak now has a different frontman, but I do have to say that that band is quite special and his voice is some like a voice that influenced me when I was a little girl. I love Urban. I don't know if you heard about Urban, but he really is a special artist and songwriter, and his lyrics are really, really, really special, and his voice is like a huge and powerful voice. From a newer artist now that are really active on the scene, I really like Matija Cvek. He's one of amazing male vocalists now in Croatia. I would say when it comes to like a newer style, I recently discovered Miac. She has a really fresh modern production and it's really interesting. There are a lot of newer artists that are just killing it now on the scene, and I'm so happy to see that. Filip Rudan is someone that I'm really enjoying. His music is amazing and it's sounding really, really modern and fresh. And
okay,
there awesome. Are
a lot of recommendations for me now to go through later and listen to, so thank you for that. I've got a few more. This is a first that I'm doing here, but basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a specific scenario and I want you to tell me what song you would like to go along with that, or like what song you would listen to during this moment, if that makes sense.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
We'll see how this goes. This is more of a Zagreb specific one, but hiking, you're hiking Sljeme, which is the mountain over there in Zagreb.
Yeah.
And the sun just begins to rise.
Okay.
And then what song plays? I don't know if it's like a movie scene for you or just like what you're thinking in your head during that moment, something like that.
I don't know. I really have to be honest. First song that popped into my head was from Toto, Hold the Line. Hold the line.
Yeah.
It was really because I don't know, it has the like kind of like you're
really hiking at a good pace then. You're not just strolling.
Yes. I don't know why. I guess because immediately when you mention hiking, I always like, you know, when you train or walk or something, you just need like a right tempo to
follow. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that. An interesting fact, I don't know if you know, but the keyboardist of Toto, who wrote that song and most of their other hits, is actually Croatian as well. Croatian American. I think either his dad or his grandparents. I'm not sure what generation.
I think I'm... might knew that, but now it sounds familiar, but cool.
So it's cool. I've been trying to get him on the podcast too, actually, because Toto, you know, incredible band, a lot of hits, no success yet, so hopefully he'll hear this and reach out. Okay, let me give you, I got a few more scenarios here. This one is, you're sad, you're having a bad day, and you're in the tram and it's raining outside.
Ooh.
You're sitting there looking out the window at the rain.
First song that popped into my head is Sorry from Nothing But Thieves.
I'll have to check that one out. No, I don't know that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I do play that song a lot when I'm down. Mm-hmm. Because I listen to it. I love Nothing But Thieves. So yeah, Sorry would be the song.
All right, I'll have to check that one out. Yeah. Next one, two more here. Is cool. It's summertime. You're lying on the beach, say in Rijeka, or Crikvenica has a beach, right? Okay, we'll stay there with a Karlovačko.
Karlovačko, nice.
Nice.
Wait. That's a good one. I'm just imagining myself now sitting. I do that. So it's not like I need to imagine something that never happened.
Yeah, it's a realistic scenario.
Oh my God. Why am I not stuck? Because I'm thinking now too much. Karlovačko. Okay, when you're drinking Karlovačko in Crikvenica, I need a...
I guess at that point, it depends how many Karlovačkos you've had. Maybe you don't even hear the music at that point.
Exactly. Oh my God, why I cannot think about a song that I would play, like just thinking about myself, like putting taking a phone and putting a playlist on what I would put. It really also depends if I'm alone or I'm with like my friends, because if I would be with my friends, then it would probably be like a Croatian song, and it would be probably like something I would say Oliver Dragojević or they would go Miša Kovač or something like that. something like that. It would be a Croatian song. It would definitely be a Croatian song.
Miša, he's got some sad ones though, some ballads.
Miša would be probably something more for later when we have like, I don't know, five or six Karlovačkos.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And then it's just hands in the air. Exactly.
There you go. That's also good for the tram in the rain too. All right, and last scenario here. This, I don't know if you'll be able to relate to this or if you ever thought about this, but if you had to have a walkout song for a fight,
ooh,
what would it be?
Gasoline.
There you go. I was wondering, I was thinking, you know, which scenario is she going to say gasoline to?
I think that's the perfect song.
I love it.
Sam Guevara, I'm going to burn like gasoline still.
It fits perfectly for that.
Yeah.
I love it. Great answer. Well, That's sort of winding down here, last couple of minutes of the podcast. I want to ask, you know, of course, you've got Dora coming up and hopefully Eurovision after that. But aside from that, what sort of future plans do you have, both, you know, for your career or personally otherwise?
Yeah, it's now that I found my team, I really want to continue just writing a lot of songs and releasing the next single after Gasoline, and just continuing in the same tempo and building my solo career, and hopefully just growing as an artist, as a performer. And something that I really wish to start as soon as possible is performing live, because that's what I absolutely love doing the most. So hopefully, you know, summer is coming soon. So I really do hope to play on some festivals and just experience the whole live show.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be awesome. I'll be looking forward to that. And yeah. Marcella, I want to thank you again so much for your time, for coming here on the All Things Croatia podcast. You were a Thanks. Great guest, gave a great interview. And I only have one final question that I've been asking every guest yes. that comes on the podcast.
Okay.
What do you makes Croatia special?
People. Definitely. People, I would say the warmth of the people, the I don't know, the generous hearts, the warm hearts, the yeah, just how to say that? The hospitality of people that is just I don't know, special, I would say.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah. Marcella, thank you so much again for coming on the podcast, and best of luck in Dora and your future plans. Really looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.